But I might as well tell you, Florence, the foundation at 211 West Douglas just went out of the processing business entirely and is teaching as few students as possible. And at this late date is going into research. I'm not quite sure what they're going to research, but they've just gone into research. And this leaves as official entities in the field, the HDAs in the field, the affiliates, that is to say the college associates, a professional school in Wichita, and whatever unit is here as far as the lineups are concerned, and of course this foundation. Okay, this, by the way, is a big load off my mind because I've been wondering which way those people were going to jump, and sometimes suicides jump the wrong way. All they seem to have gotten me for so far is to tell the income tax people that I'm vastly out of order on my income tax. So the income tax people are coming down. Do we have anybody around town who's awfully good on income tax? Well, they wouldn't let me look at any of the 51 books, so I don't know what income they've got written down. And they wiped out all my income just before income tax time, so I don't know. I wrote the collector of internal revenue about a year ago, and I says, God, I'm confused. And he never replied, so I guess he is too.
He's looking for me around, that's why he found you.
Yeah. What do you know? Well, I got to make a couple of theta clears quick and wreck these income tax people. That's it. Tonight, I'm going to give you two talks, possibly a very short demonstration. I'm going to carry this forward very rapidly. I didn't realize last night until the intermission that a lot of people completely unfamiliar with Dianetics were present, and I'm going to feed it to you hot and fast. It's more or less like it'll come out in the summary course. Tonight I want to talk to you about theta bodies, the anatomy of a theta body itself, and the anatomy of the composite, which you are calling you. And you might find this of considerable interest. This is a matter of research which is quite old. People have been working in this field on Earth here that I know about for the last 10,000 years, and they've been working elsewhere on this field for many more years than that. And the data which has been amassed has more or less up to this time been one-sided. Nobody went backwards on this data. That is to say, they knew how to do things to theta bodies, and they knew how theta bodies would behave when you did things to them. But they did not know what to do to a theta body to undo what was done to it. In other words, the reverse process. Now, by getting thought, emotion, effort, the recordings, facsimiles, and now the anatomy itself of the theta body, it is possible for us to turn around and reverse vector on this whole problem. We can take apart what has been done to theta bodies. We can examine what theta bodies are natively and what are their, at least the greater part of their total potentials. It becomes obvious that nothing that has been done to a theta body in the last trillion years, if you will pardon my statement, I'm merely following an electropsychometer's reading, pre-clear after pre-clear, trillion or trillions of years is about the age of the theta body, messed universe time. It is discoverable now that the theta body at one time possessed enormous potentials and did not need very much of what we call experience. And that these potentials were seen and recognized, but their potentialities, the potentialities of the theta body, were such that at no time could anyone thoroughly control them. And today, theta bodies can turn around and move out of this control sector. So the whole effort of the last umpteen, Lord knows how long years, has been a bust. They're, in other words, the efforts of controlling, localizing, centralizing, compounding, impacting, upsetting, turning around, using theta bodies has been fruitless. Nobody knew how to turn these things around until we knew something about thought, emotion, effort. Now, all of a sudden, we take apart the composite theta body, which is you, into its component theta bodies, and we take these apart as regard to the experience, and we find the potentiality of which a central theta line is capable. And this is not slight. This is tremendous. We're back at the potentiality as it was, plus the knowledge of how to take it apart if it gets any other way than how it was. So we made a little bit out of this spinning thing. If anybody becomes uncomfortable while I'm talking here, be assured that it's probably a temporary condition. Very few of these composite bodies are very well stuck together. They are not well glued, in other words. And at the first signals of awareness, things start to happen. Actually, at this time, and with the subject matter which I'm giving you tonight, you won't probably experience much more than a mild somatic or a hot somatic or feel an empty space or something of the sort. But what we're dealing with is very root stuff. Up to this time, we've been dealing with facsimiles. Now, we are dealing with the theta body and partly with facsimiles. But if you can introduce the awareness of each part of the composite, which is you, you get total awareness, and you also lose a lot of parts. This is not bad. It is interesting, as we view the fact of theta bodies, how many people were very right on the subject. When I was a very young fellow in India, the things that I was told were to me undemonstrable to a large extent, and yet one had a haunting feeling that they were so. And one could go around and look at people here and there and see that there was some ghost of crook about this. Now, we have tools that take apart practically everything that has been stated correctly about the human soul, the human beingness, and so on. And we can examine this for ourselves, which makes this very interesting. I have found this a very fascinating line of research. You might realize that much of this research has been kept under a lid. The tone scale of Dianetics, which was drawn in December and January 1950-51, had a bar up at the top of it that said 1,000 capabilities unknown, or capabilities unexplored. Well, I was actually into this line of research with both feet at the time, but we had to build a bridge. Now, that bridge was simply learning the mechanics of thought, emotion, and effort. How does the theta body affect the physical universe? How does the physical universe affect the theta body? Let us take it now just as thoroughly and as calmly and as passionately as Mest anatomy is taken out of Gray's historic book on anatomy, and look at a composite body. A human being, what we're calling today Homo sapiens, is a composite of about 7 theta lines. About 7. And these theta lines are each one a theta body in its own right. And some of these 7 are slightly composite. That is to say, they may consist of 2 or 3, but they call them central theta lines. Now, these are theta bodies. They come together from their first level into a greater and greater degree of complexity simply by adding new lines or adding new bodies. And this is no more, no less complicated than simply taking the digit 2, which is evidently the basic unit, And then we add two more, we add three, and then we add two more on top of that. There are usually three specific incidents on the track, which are additive incidents, call them in slang joiners. And these lines come together then. First, they suddenly appear as two. There are two theta bodies, which become a composite of one theta body. Now, I'm not talking now in terms of all the incidents there are. You see, each one of these has had an experience before it joins up as this first composite. And we'll call this first composite a personality, something of the sort. Now, here you have, then, the basic unit of two. Back of that, these two have broken away from the main body of theta. Two or three minor incidents have occurred. And we get down to this basic unit of two. That's joiner one. Usually, one faces forward and one faces back. They are put together face to face. Now, these are outside of any universe that we know about. They begin outside of any universe that we know about. And they have the potentialities of goals. And each one probably has a slightly different goal than the other one, so that you get a good balance between the two. They have agreed on what their goals are, and they've also agreed that their goals are different, some slight degree. We come down the line a little bit further, and we get joiner one, which is the first possibility of a body, and this is another universe than the mesh universe again, usually, and I'm now describing an average line, a line which you might find varying considerably from pre-clear to pre-clear. But your added three permit the first two to have a body. And this body possibly has many descriptions. You get it variously described. But it doesn't have perceptions, really, as we know perceptions, because you still have theta body awareness of immortality and continuance and perceiving. Now, on the entrance into the messed universe, there is an additional addition. Now, this talk I'm giving you is not a talk describing the various incidents. I'm just showing you here's additive factors. These lines are coming together, and each time you have more composite for a body. Now, that's what's important, because these things are making a body, or they're entering bodies, and so on. Then you get what we call the genetic line. Now, this genetic line, which produces your present body, actually is a continuance through the meshed universe here on Earth. And you didn't join this line as the composite theta body line, you, until, well, varying terms of years ago, maybe 2, 3, or 10,000 years ago. But this genetic line has its own theta body. And as the Greeks said, the mind was in the stomach. It carried what you might call a theta body line in the stomach. That was its center of awareness. And when it was joined in the head by the other lines. And in short, you had a genetic line coming along and being joined by an already composite line. Now, the composite line had what you might call a stomach theta body or a stomach soul. And this stomach soul and the genetic line soul are overlaid in the middle of the body. And their conflicts, upsets, and so forth, are many. And there is your anxiety stomach, your general fear reaction, and the theta body composite that comes in on the theta body line, not the genetic line. We'll call this other a genetic theta line, just for a better use. This composite line stomach soul is quite often, if not almost always, psychotic. That stomach soul is psychotic. It has been through just once too many and a little bit too much. And it's interesting that you can take this particular theta body and bring it up to present time and knock out an anxiety stomach very easily, or even let this entity go away. Now, this is more or less an average number of standard lines that make up the composite, which is referred to as Homo sapiens. It's interesting and extremely interesting that none of these lines need any of the other of these lines to be a complete entity, but they are joined together. They are under compulsion and they are under duress because they have been used, they have been abused, and they have been united for other purposes than those in the best interests of self-determinism. Self-determinism has been led, however, all down the line to slightly aid and abet and help out this composite state. Now, riding over the top of this whole line, all the way down through the universes to now, evidently, is this first duo, the first double, the basic unit two. And one of these theta lines is slightly senior to the other. And that, you will find, as the others peel off, is the native controlling natural you. And that's what you recognize as you. You say, who am I? Well, it is the senior of the first duo. And the conduct of the senior of the first duo is modified by the junior of those two, and is then modified by the additive lines, on and on and on and on, until the senior of those is quite normally asleep, gone. As far as he's concerned, he believes he's dead, or he has strange ideas about himself. His ideas of awareness, he's sort of delegated everything to everything else. He's in apathy, really, homo sapiens. The activities in which people engage are quite normally carried through lower levels of the theta lines. And people quite commonly run on their right sides, or their left side, which, by the way, is the next factor I'd like to tell you about. These theta lines have anatomical positions in the body. You can easily discover these. You'll know where they are, what they do, what they try to control. It is very interesting that they are not necessary, any of these added lines, to the control of the body. The central senior soul, the central senior theta line, is itself completely capable of doing the entire job, and the person could only be considered, a clear only if he were monitored and governed solely from this unity of one, and your second one might still remain, but it would be a junior position. Now, here you have unnecessary additives all the way down the line, and these additives, however, have taken over anatomical positions, precise, you might say, a geographic positions in the human body. There's one on the right side, there's one on the left side of the central soul. There's one behind the central soul. And there's one in the solar plexus area. And then the next two are outboard of the first two I've mentioned. So that you have the two outboard souls. Then the next one is the stomach soul, with the two side inboard souls. So your right side would have two souls, your left side has two souls. And then you have the central soul forward and the central soul back. And in addition to all these, there is the theta body of the genetic line, which is evidently resident somewhere in the middle of the body. Now, the theta body of the genetic line could, of course, swell up and take entire command of the body. And so could any other theta line we have. Any one of them could take over almost or complete control of the body, or can take over a sectional control of the body. A little bit of it or a lot of it. Any one of them has this potentiality. And what are we looking at now? We're looking at theta bodies in their essence. A theta body, then, is nothing more and nothing less than the personality that you talk to every day, and it has no difference whatsoever between itself in an aberrated state and a human being at any given moment. Because at any given moment, a human being is actually running on one theta body. Of course, that one theta body can be modified by having to look through another theta body in order to express itself, and there's complications of this character. But I want to drive this home very thoroughly, is there's nothing strange about a theta body. You walk with them, you talk with them, you are them. And the reason I'm calling them theta bodies is to give you a very good differentiation. Because a human being, Homo sapiens, as he exists today in a normal state, is a composite of these bodies. But he is manifesting, usually, only one of these personalities. Now, Homo sapiens is in the very interesting state of having the upper two centers, if seen or heard at all, in a sort of a background awareness state. The only way they would ever come through to you, if they got very interested, they give you flash answers. Now, here, then, you have other modifications, and you have these others, one by one, down the line, at one time or another, have been almost in entire control of the body. And the bulk of them, but not the first two, are psychotic. The bulk of the theta bodies, which are different than those first two, are, in this society, mad as hatters. You ask them to come up to present time, and you get snapped at and snarled at. Any one of them forms the foundation of what we called earlier in Dianetics demon circuitry. The demon circuitry sets as individual obsessions in the theta body. And these theta bodies, being low tone and in a somewhat hypnotic and neurotic, at least, state, will copy and mimic other human beings which they observe or feel in their environment. And they will hold these imitations, and they will hold on to the aberrations which they observe. And they are very confused normally. They are extremely confused. They do not know there are any other theta bodies present. And they are just as willing to hurt a body as to help it. A person's right hand is always cutting him. Well, it's either the inboard right-hand soul or the outboard right-hand soul is sort of cross about the whole thing. And you as the auditor start to address this soul, and you get the most interesting responses. What is this soul's regard toward this body? Very often you'll get something very foggy. What body? Sometimes you'll get, well, I gotta kill him, and so on. But here you're getting a response different than the early responses on circuitry. Now, you know, in the old days, I tried to keep people from examining this. You might as well confess now. The demon circuits themselves could be cleared by picking up incidents. But the theta bodies themselves were very, very tricky to handle, and one had to find out several things about them. And one of the things one had to find out about them is, are they all following the same rule of order? Do they all respond to the same mechanics? Or are there such things as demons, idle spirits, devils, any one of these things? Or are they just psychotics, or what? And it turns out, after a great deal of research, that they're just normal or neurotic or psychotic and so on in their effects on a preplant. The anatomy, then, of a composite theta body, which is you, is traceable back down this minimum, as far as I've been able to determine, and my figures are, number of cases is not as large as I would like to have it, is 7. The minimum is 7. Why do I say minimum? It's because every one of those joiners has put into every one of these theta bodies the compulsion to pick up more theta bodies. And it does so automatically. Does so just automatically. So that somebody comes along and he commits an overt act. He kills our old friend Bill or something of the sort. And then he says, gee, this is too bad I've killed Bill. He's got Bill. He's got the composite Bill. He's got all of Bill. And it actually can get down to a point where the composite you, fortunately very lightly so, can actually be influenced by thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of theta lines, which you have picked up, but which aren't your theta lines. You're just sort of holding them trapped. And they've tried to go back and go where they're supposed to go between lives, and they try to do this, and they try to do that. Maybe they're so groggy they don't know enough to do this. You take somebody who is really sick, and you run out an overt act. If you get a grief charge on it, or if you reduce this overt act, you have probably also jettisoned a captured theta body. Just like that. Now, it's wonderful what the aberrations are on this theta line. The aberration of the theta body is fabulous because it is very standard. There are very few of them. And they are best described by reading the bottom of the chart of attitudes, plus two columns. And that one column would be freedom at the top and restraint at the bottom and win at the top and lose at the bottom. That would be 14 buttons on the chart of attitudes, and the bottom line would describe pretty well the complete aberration or the completely aberrated theta body. For instance, I know not. I am not. I am nothing but effect, and so on. Freedom restraint column comes in interestingly because need or desire for or compulsion to have a body is on that column, and that is just an aberration. So, as you take a person up that column on need of and care of the body, it forms one of the most powerful processes there is. Very interesting process. And the other column, of course, is lose. They are trying to lose because it's the only way they can get free. But what does lose mean? Lose could also mean just jettisoning this body, so the line would cross on those two columns. The only way it could get out of this universe is to fail enough to lose. And people try that. Now, what happens to these theta lines? What happens to them when they become psychotic or neurotic or normal? What happens to them? They simply run down the line with less and less sense, with less and less power, with less and less direction, and so arrive at what the mystic normally referred to, or the spiritualist, correcting myself, referred to as the idle spirit. The psychotic theta body is what we call demons in their varying magnitudes, genies, and so forth. If you want to know, then, what an aberrated theta body looks like, just look at an aberrated human being. That's all. Just look at an aberrated human being. And you're looking at an approximation of this. Now, it has some specific obsessions with which you should be very well familiar. And these obsessions are these. One, it has to have a body. Two, it has to be, these are plants, by the way, these are planted. There are points on the track where they've agreed to this, but these are mostly implanted into the theta body to get it into order. It has to have a body, and two, it cannot perceive without looking through a body's perceptive channels. I get that is important because it's a blinder. It has to stand behind a pair of optic nerves before it can get a facsimile of the meshed universe, it thinks. It has to stand behind ears before it can hear. It has to stand back of a whole battery of nerve channels in order to feel. And this should explain to you immediately why it is so easy to shut off. Recall perceptions are very easily shut off simply because they lie squarely on top of the theta line obsessions that one can see, feel, or hear, or anything. When you have 7 pre-clears on a couch, and any one of those 7 may have a half a dozen more, things can get quite complicated. The only reason, the only way I've been able to thread through this with great accuracy has been with an E-meter, because they'll generally answer up if put to the question in this fashion. Now, most of your pre-clears have an enormous number of potential chronic somatics. Chronic somatic, and then get rid of another chronic somatic, and each one, unless you kept on with your processing, would continue to be chronic from the moment you stopped the processing. You see how that would be, some of you have had that happen to pre-clears. You get them all over a psychosomatic nose condition, and after that they have psychosomatic toenail condition. Now, your experience in this line, however, has not been anywhere near as bad as old-time psychotherapy. This was Nightmare Alley.
Because as soon as you persuaded somebody and argued somebody in him, which they weren't trying to do, argued somebody into not doing that anymore, something else came in and said, well, we'll do this now. A psychotherapist then assumed as a rule of the road that any time you got rid of a psychosomatic illness in a preclear, you would then find another psychosomatic illness substituting for it in the preclear. This was a rule of the road. They just got to a point finally where they would diagnose all psychosomatic illnesses as substitutions for something else. Well, that's quite interesting. A substitution was a substitution, was a sublimation, was a substitution. How else could you look at it with this many variables? And with no means, actually, to eradicate that particular psychosomatic illness so it wouldn't kick back. This was a very difficult problem. Now, any one of the entities with which you are dealing, any one of the theta bodies with which you're dealing in a preclear is capable of producing an almost unlimited number of psychosomatic illnesses. You could get something like this. Supposing your preclear was just one theta body, so on. You're familiar with this condition. You audit him for a while, and you get him up to a position where he's no longer stuck in that engram, no longer in that incident. And now he's in another incident. Now, you'd audit that incident long enough so that he was no longer stuck in that incident, or it didn't influence him. He'd be in another one. Meantime, sort of coming on up the track a little bit later and later incidents, or maybe sometimes like flicking back and going into earlier incidents. There's a finite end to such a thing. So long as you, as an auditor, do not become tired, you can actually, tired or low in tone or discouraged or something of the sort, you can actually exert enough influence on this preclear to hold him in one theta body. That's a trick which is observable. You've seen some preclear change auditors. And right away, the second auditor gets an entirely different case. And he comes around and he says, well, you know that case, and you were trying to run out all those prenatals and those locks on the mother and so forth. Actually, it was the father. Father was the whole solution of the case. And drop a curve on you. And they were auditing another theta body. Now, if you change from a man to a woman auditor, the man will find himself auditing one theta body, and the woman auditor will find herself auditing quite another theta body, automatically, because men and women are responded to in a preclear by different theta bodies. Now, these variables need not be perplexing, and are actually only perplexing if they aren't understood. If you realize suddenly that you're playing an organ with 12 stops, you can reach in and pull the stops in and out. That's fairly simple. You can play Home Sweet Home 12 times. Fortunately for you, all these beings don't receive the same engram at the same moment. Now, you've seen this trick of valence manifestation. You take the preclear back on the track, and he's way out of valence, and you work and work and work to get him in valence. Well, there's a good reason why you're working to get him in valence. What you're doing, when he's out of valence, you'd be trying to audit an observer. Well, now, it so happened that this observing theta body would actually have some charge on the incident. This observing theta body, which is the preclear, too, would be watching this incident happen, and he wouldn't like it. Just as an observer, just as any other observer in the room wouldn't like it. So you can audit out, but for heaven's sakes, audit it out as an observer. Don't just harass the preacher to get him into balance. Just audit him out as an observer. All right, so you watch this. Okay, roll it. You will find, as you run the case, that gradually you can bring such an incident, and this is the manifestation of running through an incident several times and then suddenly finding the person in balance. What you do is audit out this observer, and then audit out one observer over here, and then audit out one observer over here. And then all of a sudden, this central case here, you come on to that, and it alerts. Because why? Because it's getting the incident restimulated. The theta being is getting the incident restimulated over and over by these observers. They go through the incident, observers go through the incident, and that re-stimulates your center one, so all of a sudden he's on to the incident, and he's awake in it. Generally, when you see this manifestation, the person the pre-clear was, the being the pre-clear was at the time, is getting so much charge during the incident. But quite often, if it's a severe incident, that entity stops there and sort of passes out, goes to sleep, considers it's dead, considers it's finished, that it is no more, there's no use to carry on, it stops right there in the tank. But with this other stuff going on around it, all of a sudden it'll shake loose enough on the track so that you can audit it, wakes up to that degree. Now, let us clarify terminology here then. We wanted to really be precise in any communication. We say exactly what we mean, and therefore we have to have some words that say exactly what they mean. So, for no other reason than that we can find it handy in communication, let us classify these bodies, these theta bodies, in this wise. Let's call the theta being, let's say theta being would be the central senior person, the one that the person would be, or pre-clear would be, if he were entirely cleared up on his way to a theta clear, and this would be the last entity you would be addressing. That's the top senior entity, and the one which will preserve as the pre-clear. Let's call that a theta being, or his theta being. Now let's call the remaining theta bodies, let's call these remaining theta bodies souls. And that call is, you don't like that word. All right, what do you want for a word? Let's call them then entities. Let's call them entities.
Possessive entities.
All right. You've got a whole series of these now. Because these, by the way, have not walked in. These have not walked in unbidden. They are actually have been gathered up in groups. Some of them are there under compulsion from elsewhere. Now, let's call the third order. These are the ones that are supposed to be there. This would include the theta being, and then six entities, and then the remaining ones. Let's call these things idle entities, or some such word. These idle ones, then, are very idle. They are actually theta beings which have run downhill to the point where they are practically out the bottom. They couldn't have a body if it's just, that's where you're. By the way, that's where all these beings go eventually. They just peel off downhill until they suddenly no longer capable of having bodies. They're so fairly stuck on the track. Well, there's these idle beings.
You call those vampires?
Well, they'd be vampires, all right. Okay. Now, those come in on the individual. They come in on the individual, but not unbidden. He asked for them. Or one of his entities asked for them. Authorizedly or unauthorizedly, out of a compulsion to join up. Therefore, you have this stack that looks like this. First, there's a theta being. Now, it has commingled in company, but hasn't commingled in identity, with a second being. Now, this other being is pretty senior and probably won't leave. These two then have added to them these entities, one after the other. And these entities, in turn, have enough compulsion on them to add in even more beings so that you eventually wind up with a very large number. Now, an entity then is classifiable to the degree that any entity may have an elsewhere body. For Homo sapiens at the present time, any entity may have an elsewhere body. These idle ones generally don't. The theta being may himself have an entity, another body. May have. There's no reason to be very complex about this. We could each actually go through and number them on their positions. You would know exactly where they are. The theta being normally faces forward and is in the head and can emanate there into the whole body and can be the whole body. And when your preclear is well, when he is well disposed, when he's in good condition, and so on, it will be this being that he is. The second one has different goals, but is sort of a partner to the first one. And it normally considers itself to be facing back in the head. There's where it's most easily reached. And it, too, could pervade the whole body without any very bad consequences. Although the goals of this being, this entity, are not as high or as good as the Theta being's goals. All right. Your next being would be the right inside. And the next being, the left inside. These are entities, though. Right inside, left inside, and stomach. And now you have two more entities added. Now, I don't know whether this happened in every case, but these last entities seem to have been added after Earth. They were added here on Earth, somehow or other. I haven't that story very clear yet. And there is another entity, which is the somatic entity, which is continued all the way along the track as the body and is actually responsible for having developed the body and has on its file all of the genetic line data, like the boohoo, the helper, and so forth. That's its data bank. Now, each one of these, at one time or another, and it pre-clears many existences, has been in charge. Not for any other reason than that the theta being has gone to sleep or has failed or has been pushed out of a position of command. And so most people have one or another of these beings taking over this way and that. It's very interesting. Some of these entities are or have been theta beings and as such are accompanied by their own suborder. But you find them all in the same location. All in the same location. So don't be surprised. This is why I say it takes an E-meter to keep track of all these. Because any one of them, and this is a rule of the road on this, any one of these can take over and invest the entire body, can operate solely with its own data bank, and can create a somatic anywhere in the body. The geographical locale is only where you will find them more or less native. But they can actually take that area and extend from that area and become the whole being, or extend from that area and suddenly control a part of the body which is quite distant from their seat of command. Now, let no one be confused about the theory of epicenters. The theory of epicenters is quite valid. It is a trace, a tracking, of how the body evolved. And all of these epicenters have data banks, but they are all under the command of the somatic entity. And the somatic entity has, as it come along, been formed and added to structurally. So the control centers or the epicenters of the body are merely the points of the body from which the mechanisms and limbs of the body are handled. And they came into existence very smoothly by counter efforts being applied to that point. That's structure. That's physical structure. Now, get this picture. Here's a big control panel. Every button on this big control panel could be called an epicenter. An embryonic brain, a nerve center, a command post, something. And here are all these buttons. And you push one of these buttons, and certain lights go on, and certain motions take place. A doctor takes his hammer, his little rubber hammer, and taps somebody on the kneecap, and the leg flies out. And he says, well, your central nervous system's in good condition. In other words, he's saying that epicenter's connected. Because he can come along and, by the application of mechanical motion, create a structural response. Now, that's what an epicenter is. It's just a push button. It's built-in structure. It has neurons, synapses, and so on. It's just the mechanics of a body. Now, here's this big switchboard. Who's running it? The theta being's person is supposed to be running it, amongst other things. He could do lots of things besides run this switchboard. As long as you were the theta being, then anybody could theoretically come along and run this switchboard, particularly the theta being. The somatic entity actually is very, very low in command power compared to the theta being. But before this earth body was joined up by a theta being or any entities, it was running along just fine. It was thinking, it was operating, it was acting, it was not too intelligent, it was not too fast. You get a preclear some time back to a time when you have him with a theta body and he's in a sloth and he's thinking. I had that experience once. I think I blew a line charge for a long while. Now I am going to think. Signal for action. Now, heretofore, before this theta being and the entities joined this body, the somatic entity then was in complete charge of this switchboard, button control. And it could walk up to this button control, you might say, and say, well, we lift this arm, we lift this leg, and we lift this arm, we lift this leg, bump, 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 push, push. It's operating on epicenters to do this sort of thing. Your switchboard system is tapped, and that hits the other control centers, and these things operate, muscles flex, and blood runs, and all sorts of interesting things happen in this carbon-oxygen engine. So, along comes the theta being. A child has a rather hard time of it, has to learn how to handle a switchboard. The child is quite intelligent. The theta being of a child is usually, on the beginning of a cycle, very alert. And so, what do we get? We get a pilot, an untrained individual, rather, shoved into, suddenly, the cockpit of a B-47. There he sits, with controls. How does he hook up to the controls? How does he operate this mechanism? The body is joined by the theta being and the other entities just before birth. And these beings have the strange obsession that they have to join the body by an entrance through the mouth. Odd, this is an old superstition, and it's evidently true. But it's just a compulsion. They don't have to do that at all. And it's just before birth, ordinarily, when this happens. The somatic entity is running the body up to that point. All right. The theta being joins in. The next thing you know, it starts to say, how do we move an arm here? Which button? We've all had lots of experience now, many lives on these buttons, but there's a button around here someplace. And it also has to sort of train this body into its responses. And so between the two, you get a year or two before the baby is able to care for its whole body and operate. Now it gets along for quite a while. Children are quite responsive. They're very good. Along about 6, 7, 8, 9, a child is very accurate. His reaction time is very good. And then, of course, somebody comes along and punishes him or sends him to school or tortures him or grinds him up for hamburger, does something to him. And at that moment, the theta being fails. One of the things that it fails on school, by the way, is it knows it. It knows all this. And then somebody comes along and says, now you have to learn this, and we're going to punish you unless you learn it. And result in confusion. Why do I have to learn what I know? And you get an awful confusion at that point, and that starts to send the theta being down in tone. Well, from there on out, it takes maybe just one operation, one accident. The theta being goes back of the switchboard, and one by one, these other entities will take over that switchboard. And the theta being is trying to operate through these other entities. Delegation of authority. He says, I can no longer trust myself. Maybe Pete can do it. Maybe Bill can do it. Maybe Suze can do it. But what is this now? You're getting one being going out and other entities cutting in. But you're still getting the theta being operating on a level of awareness which is very, very, very low, but sometimes being quite intelligent if it's not taking any of the responsibility. And so it pushes solutions through. Although the body is very definitely in the hands of some entity, the theta being pushes the solution through. on a problem here, a problem there. Sometimes it comes through quickly, and sometimes it comes through very slowly. And you can actually snap the theta being into giving your responses simply by asking for flash answers. This is your manifestation. He's not really just a file clerk. He's not a file clerk at all, actually. You're trying to reach the beingness of a person in this way. Now, when you start to audit this person, the first thing that you want to know is how many psychos do you have on your hands? That's the first thing you want to know. Who's stuck on the track? What is psychosis? You can reduce psychosis to this definition. Psychosis is the condition of an entity or idle spirit, you might say, moving in to control but being stuck on the track. And that's psychosis. Trying to control, stuck on the track. Now, you can just throw away what you know about circuits. I'll show you what circuits are in a moment. But there is your basis on psychosis, and also on neurosis. There's your basis on it. What's our goal in? If you have a psychotic entity on your hands, your problem is a very simple problem all of a sudden. You don't have to worry much about a circuit. What you have to worry about is how do we get the preclear moving on the track? Because for all intents and purposes and for the moment of your auditing, that entity that you're trying to audit is the preclear. Now you have to audit this entity usually through the preclear. You can audit this entity direct. All depends on how high you are in the tone scale. Now, here you have then a simple problem of finding out where he's stuck in the track and in what kind of an incident he's stuck. First, what entity is stuck? When is he stuck? And run it out. You run it out with thought, emotion, effort. Routine procedure. Now, if you can't contact him very well, you can do such tricks as making him remember something absolutely real. Or you can ask the pre-clears higher levels to simply move in over this entity, possess the entity, and boom him through the incident. Entity doesn't like that. But you can actually move in over the top of one of these entities and just grind him through the incident. He can't do anything about it. He won't even protest. But when they're very soundly out of communication and quite asleep, quite unconscious, and so on, you quite often have to do this because they think this is happening just now. There's the big mistake they make in time. It seems to them that this point they're stuck and the incident which they're running is now. That is the manifestation of psychosis, the timelessness of an incident, and the conviction that the incident is happening now. All right, with thought, emotion, and effort then, either by making the preclear move over the top of the entity and push it on through, or directly to the entity, making it go on through, or if you're high enough on the level, just moving in and going on through it yourself. You then bring this entity out of its era, and you bring it in the present time, in other words. And one after another, you spot and straighten up these entities. Now, you're going to find out, because of this little trick, which I say might possibly be going on at this time, on another planet, you may find out that you pick up each one of these sub-entities, and you'll have to kick them over and run out of death on a simultaneous time track. You run out this death on them if it's there, because they're very ordinarily stuck in it, if it's in re-stimulation at all. But if it's not, don't bother with it. Just make sure they're in present time. And get the theta being of the individual alive, awake, and alert as soon as possible. Get that being audited then, because that's what you're trying to address your auditing to. And the only reason you're trying to take these entities and other things present out of the way is that you just want them out of the way so that you can audit this theta being. That is what you're doing. It's a very simple job. It becomes much simpler, much, much simpler as a concept than any we have had before. Now, get this about circuits. A circuit is quite real, but a circuit happens to be a being, or an entity, or an idle one, mimicking. You know, a preclear goes low enough on the tone scale, we'll get into a physiological report or a mental report with somebody, and we'll mimic. That's hypnotism. And these entities will actually copy other people. They'll copy other people so thoroughly that they'll get their identity confused with those people. Thoroughly confused with them. So that you get this kind of a manifestation. You start running this entity back and you find this entity is somebody that the person knew at one time or another. And it isn't at all. I mean, you can shake this loose rather rapidly by just blowing a few lacs. This entity will make an effort to control your preclear by imitating the people who have controlled your preclear. That's the goal. All their compulsion was laid in by people who wanted to control them. And so their efforts to control will be efforts to punish. So one of the first things they'll do is try to influence thought. If that fails, they'll influence emotion. If that fails, they will turn on somatics and hold them on. Or they will simply imitate some person who has been able to control the preclear, such as papa, mama, teachers, something like that. They'll imitate the mannerisms and activities of this and so control the preclear. Actually, the recognition of their existence and that they do have an identity which is distinct and separate from the people they are imitating, and the recognition on the part of the theta being that that entity is there practically kills their power. The case of the chronic somatic is something that you will often find yourself resolving in 15 or 20 minutes. Simply by building up a recognition on the part of the theta being. Now, when we've talked about communicating with your hands, communicating with your liver, communicating with somebody else, what you were doing was taking one of these entities, or the theta being, and pushing them as a control into an area which they had not hitherto controlled. Now, you can do this with any of the entities. You can coax any entity there to take over control of any area. Well, you'd better ask yourself, what is the basic purpose of this entity toward the theta being? What is the thirst of control of this entity? Because after you've done a good ARC job and you said, now you want to get in control of this one, you want to get in control of that one, and you want to move in on this, and let's get some affinity with your hand, and let's get some this and that, well, you find out that you put a schnook in there. And the next thing you know, the fellow only had a mild ache and arthritis in one finger, and now his whole hand has arthritis. What do you want to put? Because you, as an auditor, actually can assist them to establish this thing. An eating eater will prevent you from making this mistake, but you should be able to prevent yourself from making this mistake anyway. Because an entity that will hurt a preclear or harm him is pretty bad. The theta being of an entity is usually very well-intentioned toward him, very well-intentioned, and would not hurt him, would not hold a somatic, would not hold an aberration up. All the theta being will do is more or less doze off and go to sleep.
Now, that's fortunate for us. That's not true of the entities. They don't just doze off and go to sleep. If you wake them up suddenly, they hardly knew where they were, or why they were there, or anything else. All of a sudden they say, ah, somebody to control. Flesh. And zing, they go right into a standard operation. You've seen human beings do this. A 1.5 comes along, walks into a classroom of little kids, and so forth and says, which one can I control first? Just that. Little Johnny over there happens to be sucking his thumb, or something of the sort, and they, whap, whap. It's nothing to them that Johnny sucking his thumb. It's not going to hurt them any. But it's just that they got to control.
At this point there is a gap in the original recording.
Entities have been so hammered and pounded and driven by the compulsive attitude of people who have tried to control us back through history, that, what's their first shift? Each one can do valence shifts. By the way, they can be this or be that. They're very good mimics. And so they become people who have tried to control us, and their only method of operation, that they know or can follow, unless they're brought out to a point where they'll think again, is to force with pain, to force with threat, to force with aberration, a messed force operation on the preclear. So when a preclear has a chronic somatic, you know immediately that he has an entity that is trying to force something onto him, and that this entity is not the Theta being. It tells you that immediately, this preclear is auditing himself continually without any slightest gain. What's happening? One of his entities has decided this is a wonderful way to torture him. Of course, it's perfectly true that you could clear up one of these entities, or clear up the Theta being and say, okay, audit the rest of them. And he would. And do a good job of it. But the accident would be where one of the entities just learns how to audit. There we go. And they'll very carefully run the incident half out and live it. They'll very carefully jam every Theta being present somewhere on the track. And they'll work at it and work at it, and work at it, and work at it. It gets pretty grim after a while. Now our task then is, as ever, a task of differentiation. Learning to differentiate. Differentiate amongst the beingnesses of a person in an effort to recover into the power of the Theta, being the entire control of the individuality, and all the individuality there is in that Theta being. To do this is not now very difficult. Imagine how it would be to run a preclear who didn't have any circuits. You just said to him, now where are you on the time track? And he says, 1861. And you say, all right. Go to the beginning of the incident and run it, snap, through to the end. No complications. He just goes to the beginning of the incident, and with full perceptics, runs it through to the end. You say, go over it again. Go over it again. Over it again. Where are you now? 1902. What's happening to you? Oh, I just fell down a sewer pipe. Okay, roll it again. Go over it again. Where are you now? Oh, 1938. Yeah. Well, roll it. Roll it through. Where are you now? Present time. Gee, I feel wonderful. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, that's the kind of auditing you're doing, and as long as you remember that that's the kind of auditing you're doing, you can't get into trouble. Because if you're not doing that kind of auditing, then you've got another Theta being that's doing a cross upon you. So you just get rid of that one first. So you see, this thing has become very simple. A lot of questions that we had in the past can go. What's a circuit? A circuit is a psychotic stuck somewhere on the track who keeps mimicking somebody, mimicking mama or mimicking papa, or doing a mimic job and so on, but quite psychotic. They have data banks. Every one of them has data banks. What do you do about a perceptic shut-off case? Hum hum. Nothing easier than a perceptic shut-off case. You just find out what happened to. If the perceptics are shut off, then you're auditing one of them that didn't have it happen to them, or auditing the one that did have it happen to him who's stuck on the track, and so he isn't perceiving. You have to get the being moving on the track, you see, before he can perceive. Well, it's relatively easy to get these beings moving on the track. Well, that's your perceptic shut off now. What is an out-of-valence case? An out-of-valence case is a person who has been one being at one time in his life, and has now shifted over, and is another one, is an entity or something of the sort. And so, when you try to audit the first beingness he was, you're not auditing with its bank. You're trying to audit things that happened to it with the bank of things it didn't happen to, except as an observer. And you'll find out that maybe there's only one, or possibly two, of these entities. Observe what is happening to another entity or the Theta being. That's very lucky, very fortunate. Cuts down the amount of observation. The others are completely blotto on the subject. They just don't know. They didn't know what happened at that period of time. So you get somebody and you say, well now, what happened when you were 18? And he says, I don't know. I've never been able to remember that period. All right, try hard. See if you can remember it. No, go on, try hard. You're just working an entity that doesn't have a bank on the year 18. So what do? If you really want to find out what happened to 18, you just get him shifted around until you find the entity it did happen to, and it's in that bank. Very simple. You must be able to differentiate amongst the entities and find out more or less when they were alive, when. If you want to do a job in just one lifetime, you can produce very marked results without going earlier than this lifetime with a preclear. Why? Because you can put the Theta being of the individual back into power. It doesn't take you too long. You might be able to do it in half an hour, you might be able to do it in 2 hours, You might be able to do it in 5 or 10 hours. You can do this. The second you get that theta being back into power, we're going to have something in excess of a mess clear, so long as that being doesn't suddenly kick out a lot of the data banks. A mess clear technically is defined as one who has on record everything there is, everything that's happened to him. Well, so he does. The theta being have on record everything that's happened to the theta being in that body. But this doesn't mean that he's got a consecutive record of everything in school, or a consecutive record of everything that happened to him in the army or something of the sort. Some other entity recorded that. And here you get these cases of sudden amnesia. Person is going along as one entity, and studies this and studies that and so forth. And suddenly that entity kicks off over on the other track and sticks, and says, I'm dead. Which he is, elsewhere. Hasn't any recall all of a sudden. Isn't moving on the track. And suddenly another entity takes over, and I think, if you examined amnesia cases you would suddenly find the preclear working on a databank that didn't apply to this life. See how that would be? He'd have a full set of skills. All of a sudden he'd be a painter. He never could paint before, but all of a sudden he's got complete amnesia. He doesn't know he's Joe Jones anymore, and he thinks he's Bill Sykes, painter. And here he is out there busily painting, and doing a pretty good job of it. The little men in white go find him, and give him a few electric shocks, kick him in the stomach, give him a prefrontal lobotomy, generally give him the kind and gentle treatment for which they're noted, and they get his memory back for him. They get his memory back at last. I won't say for what life, or when, but you can be sure something will happen. Now, what is a case of homosexuality? You see, a lot of these entities are identifiable as men, identifiable as women. Now, you take a young fellow, he's been going along just fine, he's a boy. Perfectly normal as a boy, and all of a sudden at the age of 10, some other boy seduces him, or something of the sort, and after that he's a homosexual. What happened? Well, nothing very complicated about it. Regarding him and giving him approval all of a sudden, validated a female entity. And this female entity says, aha, I've been validated, now I guess I'm boss around here. Moves in, takes over and that's that. How do you cure it? Straighten it out. Audit the old hag. That's easy. Just audit and kick her out. Now, something else happens, by the way. Very often, you see, it's not normal for people to do this jump cycle and go between lives. That is not laws of the universe. That is something just foisted off, and it's only been temporary. It's happened earlier times, but it's really temporary. It's been going on here for the last 35,000 years, and that's very recent. So this between lives cycle and diving into the body just before birth is not native to the universe. That just happens to be what goes on here right now, temporary sort of a thing, probably won't last but a few more months. Anyway, unless a lot of these spirits are very well indoctrinated, it's pretty hard to keep a tab on what it's going to be, a boy or a girl. So you at this package of theta beings all advised as to the fact they're supposed to go down there and be a good fellow this time, and it's a woman's body. That's very complex. Or you go down there and you say, the goal that's been appointed. Now, you're supposed to be a dancer, a beautiful dancer, and you're supposed to lure men. Goes down and dives in, and it's a boy. Complex sort of a thing. What do you do with a boy's body that's supposed to be a beautiful dancer? I'm saying, there's nothing wrong with me. Yap, yap. And here's this boy's body, and I'm supposed to be a beautiful dancer? You get these terrific conflicts in people in the arts. They're trying hard to carry on in the arts against messed universe which believes chaos is it. You see, theta is aesthetic, and the messed universe is force. The messed universe is all past and theta is future. And you get somebody in the arts, and he's having a rough time of it anyway, and he gets enough slaps in the face, and the first thing you know, gee, he'll shift sex or valences and he'll be very hair trigger about things. Very upsetting. He's trying like mad to somehow regain, or attain some equilibrium in a world which just isn't tailor-made for aesthetics, that's all. And so he can get into a lot of trouble. How do you rehabilitate one of these artists? Just find out who is the artist. That's all. Just find out who is the artist and patch this up, and square it around. You may get a fellow who was a great failure in the arts who is all of a sudden happy as a clam, to be a house painter. And you may get some fellow who's a house painter that really should be a great dancer. In such wise, the entities, in shifting, will shift goals, and shift them very badly. Now, the problem, then, of auditing now is just what you know it to be, thought, emotion and effort, with this simplification. You know very well from the behavior of your pre-clears, that you haven't been auditing just one person. They just keep shifting under your hands. Something else, too complex and so on. So you just make sure that you differentiate from entity to entity and try to get them unstuck off the track very neatly and nicely, and get the Theta being back in power. And if you're going with this pre-clear on through to Theta clear, to start bringing up that Theta being, bring it up, 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 up the line. Get every kind of an incident you can think of and take that incident off. Incidents you'll find on the track map, and you will blow by its horsepower alone the rest of the entities, and, of course, blow everything below that level of entity. You'll have a unity, then, which may or may not be modified by its partner. This, then, is auditing beings. Let's take a break.